Haggai, and you'll find that just between Zephaniah and Zechariah, right over close to the end of the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Old Darius is king there in the sixth month, and God spoke to Haggai, the prophet, and told him some things that he wanted him to do. And when the Lord spoke to him, he said unto him in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Haggai, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Darius down there and Cyrus had a tender spot for the children of God, and he allowed them to leave their 70 years of Babylonian captivity down there and return to Jerusalem and begin the process of rebuilding God's house. Well, they worked on that thing for about, I forget exactly how long they worked on it, but they drew coal in their labors toward it. Things just kind of eased off, and eventually they just quit working on it altogether. And so it went along there for 15 years. Nobody did anything concerning that. And last week, Brother Brian, he challenged us to be all in. Well, I want to counter that today by coming back to you and saying to you, I want us, as God's church, to consider our ways. You know, it just seems like if we're not careful, we can never get ahead. You know, the harder we work, the further behind we get. Our resources, our money, our capabilities just don't seem to get anywhere in what we're trying to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives. And so they grew discouraged, and they refused to go forward in that. And so the work lay there for about 15 years, and nothing was done. And so they finally said, you know, the time has come that the house should be built. And the Lord spoke to Haggai, and verse 3, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cycled houses and this house lying waste? What he was saying was, how could they go live in their homes of brick and mortar or cedar or the other opportunities that they had to build their homes, live their lives, and have no consideration whatsoever for the house of the Lord? Not worried about the needs to rebuild it. And Lord, he said, it's time for you. As you dwell in your beautiful homes, and this house lieth in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Consider your ways. You know, our problem is not what you and I may think it is. And the harder these people worked, the less they had because they ignored their spiritual life. Now think about this with me for a minute. Only when you and I put God first does He provide all our needs. You know, so many times is our lives, we do it our way instead of God's way. Our problem's not the volume of demands that maybe even the lack of scheduling our skills, but our problem is our values. What we value the most is going to get the greatest part of our attention and our lives. And if we say in our hearts and our lives that we truly love the Lord, do we serve Him in that manner? Would God say to us this morning, Bexley, it's time for you to consider your ways. And what's truly important to us is where is God on our to-do list? Most of us has got a to-do list. I've got to be here. I've got to do that. I've got to pick up this. I've got to go there. Our to-do list is filled to capacity most of the time without any regard whatsoever for our spiritual life and what the Lord would have us to do in our lives. What's on your to-do list? What are you accomplishing in your life? I believe in a moment when you see God compare you and I to our to-do list where we fall short. But I want to tell you something. A few months back, a man by the name of Travis Earl Williams gave this church a great gift. He went back years before his death and deeded his home to this church. Great gift. A gift that would sustain this church for many, many years to come if used proper. But for a while, there was a buzz. Everybody got what they were supposed to get and do and things. But now, for months, the house sat there vacant. Nobody doing anything to these two here on front, Brother Ernie and Miss Laura, went to work on it, determined to get everything in its proper order concerning that. Spent all last week moving stuff to the garage, trying to get the house cleaned out, painters in, work to be done. But where's everybody at? Expecting who to do what? Listen, what you're missing out on, I want you to understand this, okay? If you don't have it marked, you ought to. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. It says, you have sown much, but you bring in little. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Never satisfied. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You're clothed, but there is none warm. You don't get warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag, but your bag's got a hole in it. My old Grandma used to say, if one's throwing it out the back door as fast as the other brings it in the front, you ain't getting nowhere, you know? What's God saying to the children of Israel? 15 long years you've let my house sit there in ruins. Nobody doing anything in any way to rebuild my house. But yet they're living in beautiful homes and enjoying the fruits of their labor to an extent. But you ever wonder why you work your fingers to the bone and you don't never seem to get ahead? Let's go back to your bucket list, your priorities, what you're doing in your heart and your life. You know, as we worked this week to move a lot of that stuff to the garage and preparing, some of it went by the wayside, some of it went to Mission of Hope and stuff. But I was thinking about Haggai when he talked about you have sown, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're not filled. You drink, but you're not full. All the things he said, you buy these clothes, but you're not warm. It don't satisfy you. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag, but your bag's got a hole in it. You ever think about that? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, and he says it for the second time, consider your ways. All I'm asking you to do this morning, church, is to stop and think about the opportunity that you have, not only for the ones sitting here in the pews this morning, but for those that come behind us. I want to see Brother Travis's gift honored. I want to see it live on. I want to see it, if there's ever a need, to meet that need and stuff. But I don't want to see it fall by the wayside. I don't want to see it go to waste. Here's what he told Haggai to do. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. And build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. Go up there in that mountain, get some of those great big beautiful cedar trees up there, bring them down, and build my house. And he said, I'll do what? Take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. I want Brother Travis to take pleasure in knowing that the gift that he gave to his church lives on. It doesn't die away. It's not wasted. Look at verse 9. He said, ye looked for much, and lo, it come to little. We got big expectations, big desires for what we want. But it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. You lying, allowing my house to lie in waste, and every man is running to his own house, to our own bucket list, to our own desires of what we want to live on in the lives of other individuals and the days ahead concerning what he is doing. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew. Here's the penalty that God done to them. He said, the heavens over you has stayed with you. Because you've neglected my house, you've allowed that to lie in waste for these 15 years here, I call for a drought. You know and I know that a drought does what? Dries up everything, doesn't it? He said, I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil. Let's break that down. Oil, wine, and corn. Corn of nourishment, the wine of refreshment, the oil of joy. Three essential things in the day and time of Haggai and them that they must have. But all three requires what? Water. And God dried the land up how? With a drought. Not allowing the things to produce. Right around here, farmers and stuff, you can talk to them. And they can tell you what the effects of too much rain and the effects of not enough rain. Watermelon crop got too much rain. A lot of them went to waste. And there's just such a need for water. But God said here, I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the hands. All our works, all our struggles, all our desires lie in the hands of the Lord. And what we do and what we say as we strive to worship them. All God asked Haggai to tell the people about rebuilding his temple, his home, was, I will accept it, and I want my name to be glorified. You know, that don't seem like you're asking too much, does it? Not at all. What are you and I supposed to do in our lives? Real needs, real lives. You know, we, some of us talking out in the foyer. You know, with Haley and her family down there, the things, not the men not being able to work, the bills piling up, don't know where we're headed and what to do. Church, what do we do? What did CL ask us this morning to do? To pray. You know, even Kim fixed us up a little list of how to pray. If you believe in fasting and want to fast, God bless you in your heart and your life. But there's needs all around us. But what do? Go back to our little nest and say, Mom, I hate that about that young'un. You know, she is so good and in the prime of her life and da-da-da this. All that's great, but what do they need? They need help. God's house needed what? Rebuilding. He needed the people to be obedient, to do what he said for them to do in their heart and their life. Didn't say, you know, now I'm going to step out on them here and I'm going to tell you something. But I believe it with all of my heart. I don't think that Travis, just in a whim, decided to give his home to the church. I believe God inspired him. He's blessed this church in so many ways. And that's just another way that God can sure up the foundation of this church to live on in the days to come. And what are we doing? Taking it for granted? You know? I ain't worth knocking in the head, but I could be company to these two as Jimmy had come and volunteered a couple of days last week to help. As they moved and groomed, packed and stored and got it. Well, all we done was moved it from here to there. Now we got to do something with it. And we got all those outbuildings that's got to be cleaned out. You know, you just come get what you wanted and you're going to just let the rest of it just, I don't care what happened, I got mine. I don't think that's what Brother Travis had in mind. He wanted that to live on in the lives of us. Listen to what happens here. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. Woo, if we just obey the voice of the Lord, do you know what happened? That wouldn't be a problem at all to take care of the few things that's got to be done out there. But we got to get off self-centered and get on Christ-centered and do what he tells us to do. As the Lord their God has sent him, and the people did fear, and that word fear means it's just simply they reverenced the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you. What did he promise you and I? He never called on us to do anything. He didn't equip us and empower us to do. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The Lord, in verse 14, stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joadesh, the high priest, and the priest and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. God stirred the people up through his word. These words for those in their day, as it's real for us today in our day, as God was speaking to them then. Folks, we need to allow God to stir us up. Take care and put the finishing touches to a great gift that's going to bless this church for years to come if invested right. And their hearts and then their life. I want you to skip down to verse 3 there because I know I'm about on overtime of chapter 2. And it says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How many people saw it before they came in and Babylonians and destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, the house of the Lord? He said, who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? You remember that beautiful, spectacular temple that was built for God? They destroyed it. He said, look at it now. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? It don't mean anything to you, you know? How can you see Brother Travis's house as it was a beautiful, well-maintained? He didn't give us a piece of junk, folks. He gave us a beautiful home. And knowing what it looked like when it was his home for him and Nancy, look at it now. We're going to let it just go to pot? Or are you just going to depend on one or two to take the bull by the horns and try to do something with it? Who's going to benefit from it? He said, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Joadesh, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, all of us. We need to be strong, folks. We need to stand for the Lord. He said, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And do what? Work. Work. You see that word work there? For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to challenge you to do one thing. He stressed it twice in that little passage of Scripture. Consider your ways. Are you thankful to God for the gift that Brother Travis gave to us? He could have gave it to anyone, anything. But he chose, I think, by God's guidance, because he'd done it years before his death. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing with him. Something he thought out, something he truly wanted to do. You know what he said? I love that church. The church is who? People. You know what he said? I love you enough. I'm going to give you my home. What are we doing with it? Father God, I come to you. Wondering this morning in my heart and my life, what's it going to take us to wake us up and do what you told Haggai to tell the people to do, and that's go to work. Go to work. Rebuild my house. Brother Travis, there's a lot of need there, but there's not many workers. It's time for us, church, to honor Brother Travis by honoring what he gave us so that it can live on for years to come. Stir us up, oh God, just like you stirred those folks up. Inspire us to go to work and do your will. Forget our bucket list. Forget about our hopes and dreams and desires for tomorrow. Because no man knows the day or the hour when we won't be here tomorrow in our lives. Have we gotten so busy that we can't honor God? I'm ashamed, Lord, for myself. And I thank you for bringing this to my attention, that all my works are as filthy rags if you're not a part of it. Speak to our hearts. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what we're going to sing?
My Jesus, I love you. 210.
Will you consider your ways? Maybe you want to come to these altars and pray. Lord, what would you have me to do? When he puts something, will you put your bucket aside and allow God's bucket to be fulfilled? Any need of your heart?